From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch, and Happy New Year. I hope you had a bit of time to relax over the Christmas and New Year's holidays, and maybe even clear your mind a bit and seek the Lord as we begin a new year. I mean, I always like this time of year because you kind of I go through what you call political detox. I just kind of step back from everything that's happening here in Washington and just spend time on the things that we advocate for each and every day: faith, family, and freedom. And just enjoy the time with family, celebrating our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoying the freedoms that we have in this country. And so today, this is kind of a special program as we continue to prepare our hearts and minds for, I believe, what God has for us as individuals, as families, and as a nation going into 2020. Now, no doubt it's going to be a challenging year. I mean, 2019 was a challenging year, and this is going to be challenging. We're starting off with challenges before us as we are politically, culturally divided as a nation. We've got a huge election coming up this fall. This is just the reality of the world in which we live. It's the reality of the country in which we live. So what responsibility do we have as believers to bring a spirit of peace and unity and truth to the spheres of influence that God has given us? We've got to stand firm and protect the freedoms that we have that are constantly under attack by those who feel threatened by that truth who deny that truth. Well, today I want to explore that question, and I've asked a few of my friends in ministry to join me today and share what is on their heart for America for this new year and share their wisdom with us so that as we start 2020, we start not with despair, but with confidence. And we're going to be joined by my good friends, Pastor Carter Conlon at Times Square Church in New York City and Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. But first, we're going to begin this important conversation with Pastor Jensen Franklin. Jensen is a senior pastor of Free Chapel, a multi-campus church based in Gainesville, Georgia, with 7 campuses in 3 states. Each week, his television program, Kingdom Connection, is broadcast on major networks to millions of homes all over the world. In addition to speaking at conferences worldwide, he is also a New York Times bestselling author, having written numerous books, including his most recent bestseller, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. Jensen and his wife have been married 32 years. They have 5 children and 4 grandchildren. Pastor Jensen, Happy New Year and welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Happy New Year to you and all of your listeners. It's great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out to join us. And you and I have gotten to know each other quite well over the last few years. We have some joint interest. In addition to advancing the kingdom of God, we've been involved with the president administration advancing religious freedom and the sanctity of life and the things that, as Christians, we care about or should care about. And before we get into some of those specifics, I want to start off by asking you, as we begin this new year, what has God been showing you? What's on your heart for the nation as we begin 2020?
Well, Tony, I think that this year is so critically important. And if ever there was a time when the body of Christ, number one, needed to unify, and number two, we needed to really fast and pray and seek God's face and pray for our nation. Because for me at this point in my life, and I think you probably feel the same way, I feel like that we're fighting for our children and our children's children. Mm-hmm. And complacency today is captivity tomorrow. If we're complacent, if we sit back during this year and we're spiritually complacent, and even in our culture and in our nation and in voting, if we're complacent, we absolutely could see a tragedy happen to America. Transformed people are to transform the culture, and we're to stand up and speak up. But most importantly, a new year, we always begin at our ministry. We've done this for 30 years, a 21-day fast. So we began the year with the first 21 days saying, God, clean us out. God, set us apart. God, empty us of any and everything in our minds, our hearts, our souls. I love what you said about just detoxing spiritually our lives and saying, I want to hear you again. I want your heart again, and I want your will in our nation.
Man, that's important. I mean, when you look at when you read the New Testament, Jesus oftentimes went away to be with the Father and just pray. I mean, if the Son of God, who saw it as important to take time away to focus on that relationship with his Father, I mean, can we do any less?
That's right. I was reading Genesis 26 the other day, and I think I do feel this way about our nation in 2020 and about just the body of Christ. The Bible said that Abraham dug a well, and the Philistines came and threw dirt mm-hmm. in the well, mm-hmm. but there came a new generation, an Isaac generation, that redug the same well, not a new well, but redug the same well. And I think that, you know, when we understand that really our job is to secure the well for the next generation, Abraham knew when he was digging that well, I'm not just digging this well for me and my generation. But a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And I think a good church leaves an inheritance for a spiritual inheritance, and a good Christian family leaves a spiritual inheritance for their children's children. And the enemy comes, Satan comes, to dirty up the doctrine, dirty up the truth, dirty up that living water. And there has to rise a new generation, an Isaac generation, that redigs those wells, the wells of morality and modesty and holy matrimony and revival and repentance and restoration. And so, you know, I just really want to challenge people this year to redig some of those old wells that have made our nation great and our families great. And that's the well of prayer and fasting and revival and seeking God's face and tasting of that living water again. There's nothing that quenches the thirst like Jesus.
I could not agree with you more. In fact, yesterday, FRC began a two-year Bible reading plan that we're encouraging all of our supporters, our constituents, our listeners on radio to join us in. And it's a two-year through the Bible, and it's relatively easy, 15 to 20 minutes max per day. But I was just thinking that, as you mentioned, Genesis 26 will be there just in about another week. But how important the Bible is to America's past, America's present, and to its future, and to the families. And that's where we're challenging. You know, people say, well, we don't have Bible reading in schools anymore. What about in your home? Are you reading the Bible as a family? And we're challenging the men to become the spiritual leaders again of their homes, influencing their children to counteract the cultural forces that are out there trying to destroy our children and rob that future and bury that well, to fill that well in. We've got to be active in keeping the Word of God flowing in our homes and in our culture.
I think the number one responsibility of fathers and the cry of God to fathers in this hour is we must proclaim as fathers our nation's spiritual history to our children.
Yes.
If we don't, we are so close to, you know, America's just one generation away from paganism. And the only answer is exactly what you're doing. I like the fact that Isaac redug his father's well. And the Bible said that his father had named them, and he didn't rename them. To me, that says Isaac was saying, I don't need a new message. I don't need a new gospel. I don't need a new fancy, flashy something. I just need some calluses on my hand and a shovel. And I need to redig because there's water down there. There's life down there. And what our parents and what was the generations before us and even the apostles passed down to us, it still works today. But every generation has to redig that well.
And Jensen, I would also say that I think that speaks respect of the previous generations, which is something that I'm concerned that we're losing, where even in the church there are those saying, oh, well, they didn't do it the right way. And there is a disrespect of the elders and those that came before us. Yeah, maybe they didn't get it all right, or maybe the Lord's showing us a greater fullness. But I still think that we need to, as you said, redig those wells, respect what those who have come before us have done in this nation, and it is quite profound.
There was something, too, I think, in our spiritual history. It's not that we don't have water. I agree with what you're saying. I work with a lot of millennial pastors that are great men of God. But I get concerned. I'm 57 years old now, and I get a little concerned that it feels like it's not that there's not water in the well. It's just dirtied up. It's so polluted and so diluted that, you know, we need to. He didn't rename the well. I'm not going to rename holiness. I'm not going to rename salvation. We don't have to rename the blood of Jesus and the cross. It's always in fashion. It's always right. to use those terms. It's the only thing that can save and change families' lives and homes.
Absolutely. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us as we launch into this new year and to help us do this. Pastor Jensen Franklin, my first guest today, discussing kind of what's ahead for 2020, how we should be looking at it as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, and how we need to engage. Now, Jensen, I want to ask you this, because as a pastor, a very prominent pastor in our nation, you know, there are many saying, oh, we don't need to get involved in those cultural skirmishes. We don't need to get involved in the politics. We just need to preach the gospel. Well, I think I know what your answer is going to be, because you've had a front row seat that God, first off, God doesn't segment those issues. But secondly, increasingly, the policies and the politics of a nation affect the ability to preach the gospel.
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, I've been sharing this thought from 1 Samuel 20 of how that King Saul is sitting at his table, and the table speaks of, you know, unrestricted access and influence. When you let somebody at your table, not in the office, but in your palace, he's sitting at the table, his back is against the wall. This is in 1 Samuel 20, and he has Abner there. The Bible said Abner was a wicked man. He was evil. He was self-serving, and he was a fool, according to the scripture. He had different people, but it says that David's seat was empty, and David represents the spiritual voice. David represents people who are spiritually awake. The seat at the king's table for a spiritual voice was empty. And I'm praying that the body of Christ will wake up to the fact that we can't let our seat be empty. If the king or the president is hearing from wrong voices, he's going to make wrong choices on issues of life, on issues of Supreme Court, on issues of justice, on issues of things that are so near and dear to our heart as believers. And so I'm so thankful for people like you, Tony, who are at that table with the president. And, you know, we are imperfect people. We have imperfect elections. We're an imperfect nation, and we vote for imperfect people. But God can take those people and use them for his glory. Body of Christ, vote, pray, fast, seek God, and let's get a president in that holds up. I vote my faith, Tony, and I thank you for doing that and standing for that so many years.
Well, Pastor Jensen, thank you, and that's profound. Thank you so much for joining us, and I wish you and your family a very happy new year.
Thank you. You also. Bless you guys.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
A strong case can now be made that China has become one of the most totalitarian states in human history. The Chinese Communist Party restricts religious practice and oppresses religious minorities on a sweeping scale, targeting those of every faith, especially Christians, Muslims, Tibetan Buddhists, and Falun Gong. The Chinese Communist Party's movement against religion has had and continues to have devastating consequences for those who simply wish to live according to their conscience. The Chinese Communist Party's consistent abuses of human rights prove that it cannot be treated just like any other country. The United States must address these human rights and religious freedom violations in their trade and diplomatic dealings with China. For more information about the human rights crisis in China, visit frc.org/China. That's frc.org/China.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a two-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home.
In the U.S., the rate of chemical abortions is at an all-time high. This rapid increase is being driven by the abortion industry, which wants abortion pills available through the pharmacy in the mail, making do-it-yourself abortions the future of the abortion industry. Abortion advocates once claimed that legal abortion would prevent back-alley abortions, but now they want to place the burden of inducing abortions completely on women, despite the fact that the health complications that often result from an induced chemical abortion are eerily similar to those of back-alley abortions. They include severe bleeding, infection, retained fetal parts, the need for emergency surgery, and even death. With all the documented dangers of abortion drugs, it is clear that the abortion industry's goals are political, ideological, and financial, not the well-being of women. For more information about the dangers of chemical abortions, visit frc.org/chemicalabortion. That's frc.org/chemicalabortion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us as we kick off another year, the year 2020. Find out more about Washington Watch and the Family Research Council, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, as we begin the year, I thought one of the best ways to do it would be to have some conversations with some of our key pastors and some of my closest friends, because I think, you know, you hear me talk about it all the time. What we do here in Washington, D.C., yes, we advocate for policies. Yes, we meet with politicians. Yes, we work with them. We do research. But we're involved in a spiritual battle. What we're engaged in is representing truth, and that always comes with opposition. And so I think as we do so much work with pastors and churches, because we believe as Christians we have a responsibility to speak into this arena. We have a responsibility to speak into every aspect of life. But we do so, if we're going to do it with strength, we have to do it from Scripture. We have to do it in the power of the Lord. And I think with what we need to see happen in this year, this new year that we're in, it's going to require the church to fully engage prayer, fasting, leaning in to the strength of the Lord. Joining me now to talk more about this is one of probably maybe our first Watchman pastor that we had joined the team 16 years ago, and he's one of my closest friends on planet Earth, is Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Jack, welcome to Washington Watch. Great to have you in studio.
Tony, it's great to be here. I've got to adjust a little bit to the cold, but it's great to be here.
Yeah,
with you.
I know. California, you've usually got fires or earthquakes. You're either shaking shaking or baking, and it's not the kind of shaking you do over here when it's so cold. Well, look, a lot to talk about here, but I just want to start off with we're looking new year, challenging year, a lot of things, a lot of opportunities. What's really on your heart as you look into 2020 in terms of where the church is and where the church needs to be?
Yeah, I love the question. It's very simple to answer your question, Tony. There is a sense that God has been put in my heart for a while, and I've been, I think, diligent to share it with the body back home in Chino Hills, is the sense of a prophetic call upon my life, the life of the church. When I say prophetic, I'm talking about advancing the cause of Christ in areas of darkness, certainly in California, that maybe perhaps we have missed or not advanced before. I have this overwhelming sense of taking the word, the light of the word, into the issues of life.
Right.
It's consuming me in a beautiful way. I don't know how to explain it, but I'm possessed and becoming more possessed with this torch to carry forward in California specifically. I'm very optimistic about California. I know a lot of people have written it off. I'm expecting revival. I believe that revival's coming. I believe it's going to be different than what people might think, Tony.
It usually is.
It's not going to be, and I'm not knocking this, but it's not going to be smoke and music and bands. Tony, I think it's going to be a revival of holiness. I think the church is going to get holy. The world is hungering for an example. The world doesn't know that, but they're hungering for an example.
Yeah.
And I believe that the church is poised right now at this moment, where I'm extremely optimistic and excited as this year unfolds in front of us.
You know, I would have to say I sense that that's a – if I don't want to steal your call, but I think that's the broader call to the church, is to be a prophetic voice in an increasingly dark culture. Now, you know, I got to define prophetic for some of our listeners. We're not talking about, you know, predicting the future. We're talking about speaking truth to a culture whose ears have grown dull to that truth. And that's speaking prophetically.
Yeah.
And that's where the church needs to be. If we want to see America turned, if we want to see our churches revived and renewed in their strength and in their power and their influence, it is going to require that there is this prophetic word of God spoken. I think that's – you and I have talked about this
right.
many times. I think the reason the church is anemic, and you
right.
touched on both of them, the reason the church is anemic is, number one, they've lost their love for the word of God.
Yeah.
They're not preaching the word of God. And two, it is the issue of holiness.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so you think about where this needs to take place. It's got to happen in the pulpits. It's got to happen with
absolutely.
The pastors. And it's amazing, Tony. This morning, my Bible reading, just my daily Bible reading, brought me to Amos 7. And in that, there's the difference between – now, I'm not knocking it, Tony. There's the priesthood and there's the prophets. And in a sense, we're all called to a priesthood. I get that. But the priests were to maintain the worship system. The prophets were to speak into the culture regarding the direction that the believers were to go, the nation, the direction of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God has called you and I to do. And I believe he's calling others to speak to the nation and certainly the church, but the nation at large about the direction in which we're going. That's what's burning on my heart. And if we can communicate that to pastors, that it's time to speak fearlessly because the Word and the Holy Spirit has got us. We need not fear a thing.
Right.
We are in the right cause. We have the Lord's Word in our hearts. And I think if pulpits caught fire in 2020, this year, no telling what's going to happen.
Well, you talk about speaking prophetically, proclaiming that Word, and there is a unique opportunity that exists for the church to speak that to the broader culture. In fact, we're up against a break, but when we come back, before Christmas, we were in a meeting in the White House in which the president was there. We prayed for the president. And we were talking about this, and I want to talk about it when we return, because as I mentioned, 16 years ago, we connected and you became one of our first Watchman pastors, and now about 15,000 of them are across the country. But we prayed some things 16 years ago that, well, I want to save it for the other side of this break. Pastor Jack Hibbs, my guest in this segment. Still to come, we're going to be hearing from Carter Conlon, pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. And, well, who knows who else might drop by. But check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. Lots of information and resources there for you at the website. But don't go anywhere, because we come back with more Washington Watch with Pastor Jack Hibbs right after this. What other trips to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible and life-changing 9 days in Israel with me, General Jerry Boykin, and former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from June the 2nd through the 12th. We'll stand in the ancient ruins of synagogues where Jesus preached, worship on the Sea of Galilee, walk the streets of Jerusalem, stand on the Mount of Olives, and have communion at the Garden Tomb. You'll meet Israeli leaders who will share about Israel's intelligence and defense systems and brief you on foreign policy. As one of our former travelers said, quote, the worship, spiritual, and geopolitical understanding that FRC contributes to the trip makes it an experience not to be missed. So join us June the 2nd through the 12th for this unique experience. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155.
Can a Facebook post or a tweet or an Instagram picture change a person's mind? At Family Research Council's 15th annual Pro-LifeCon Digital Action Summit, pro-life activists from around the country will gather to explore the impact that digital media has on the culture's view of human life. Join us via live webcast from Washington, D.C., the morning of Friday, January 24th. At this year's conference, you will hear from political leaders, bloggers, journalists, and activists who will share how they view social media and other digital tools to further the pro-life message. You'll be educated and empowered to better reach your own communities by learning best practices from those who are at the cutting edge of the digital pro-life movement. With this innovative information, anyone can make an impact for the pro-life movement. Anytime, anywhere. Tune in Friday, January 24th at 8 a.m. at ProLifeCon.com. Again, visit ProLifeCon.com for more information.
Happy New Year. I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch. So glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, looking ahead to 2020, taking time out to have some conversations with some of our pastors and our Watchman Network and some of my closest friends, Pastor Jack Hibbs, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Congregation, what's the size of your congregation now? 10,000, 11,000?
I would say 10,000 is healthy number. 10,000 adults, lots of kids would be added onto that number. But
yeah, anytime you need more space, just have me come out and preach because I seem to drive away about 1,000 when I come out there.
I don't think so. We love you.
We were talking before the break about we had an event at the White House before Christmas. I don't know, it was 15, 20 of us had a chance to pray with the president. And you actually prompted something I had kind of forgotten about because the night before we actually prayed with Secretary of State. And there's just doors have been opened in under this administration, which are quite remarkable. But these are things that we were praying about 15, 16 years ago. It's a remarkable time to see the doors that are now opening and the opportunities that are there for Christians to make a difference in this country and the culture.
So we had the opportunity, as you said, to speak and to pray for the Secretary of State and then the President the very next day, and to see staff members who love the Lord in this White House, where you and I and a few others in your office here at the FRC on our faces praying at a time when we prayed in faith. I don't know how much faith we had, but Tony, it just overwhelmed me in these last few days that God has done and gone beyond our requests. And I was humbled by that. I'm being humbled by that. My heart also goes out for the pastors that missed out on that opportunity. It's not that they've missed out on everything, but I'm encouraging pastors to show up to the fight. Mm-hmm. Because like you have said before, Tony, the fact that the opposition's great, but the Lord has conditioned us in such a way to understand that every time we read our Bibles, those disciples and those apostles are in trouble for righteousness' sake. And I'm afraid that we might have been tempted too much and allowed too much of of us seeking the approval of the world instead of the approval of the Lord. And so I guess what I'm saying is we've seen God answer prayer, and now the responsibility falls to us is will we follow through on what he's provided and what he's given us?
Yeah. In that meeting, I recall sharing that I see us in a very unique moment in time, a moment in time that will not, and I don't think can be replicated. And we have an obligation to take the opportunity we've been given and speak truth, as we were talking about in the previous segment, prophetically. And that's into the administration. But what we see happening with the administration protecting religious freedom and opening the door again to the church to operate as it should have been doing all along, that we can take back our schools. We can speak into the schools. We can speak into the culture. And I think now is not the time to pull back. Now is the time to run full speed ahead, running with the prophetic, powerful word of God.
Yeah. In fact, if there's pastors and Christian leaders out there listening at this dawn of the new year that they were not involved, hey, listen, brothers and sisters, let's get involved together now, because here's the thing, in my opinion. We actually didn't need, the church doesn't need government approval and government endorsement.
Right.
So what are we talking about here?
It's a good point.
God has been gracious to us to give us a president who has defended religious freedom and right to life and so many other things, not only for Americans, but for people in the world, like no other president in history. And I'm a real Reagan fan, and Trump's abilities have no pun intended, have trumped Reagan's abilities. My point is this. God's given us a president that's saying, run with it. Go with it.
Right.
When in reality, if Caesar Nero was in power, we still should be standing, Tony.
Right.
We still should be prophetic. We still should be engaging the culture.
Yes. I think it's an opportunity where we can get off the bench, off the sidelines, and onto the field in an environment that is more welcoming, because I do think that there is a day ahead where it will return to a not so welcoming. So it's better we get more people onto the team now and take advantage of this moment. But before we run out of time, we've got about 45 seconds left. For those that would say, "Oh, this president, I can't support him. I can't be with him because if you see his tweets, this or that." Speak to that as a pastor,
Tony. We've spoken to him. We've spoken with him, and we've seen his actions. Here's the thing: forget the tweets, forget the stuff. Look what he's accomplished. Look at what he's accomplished. You know, we're hearing a lot about promise made, promise kept. That's absolute fact. And so I'm asking Christian leaders to get voter registration going in their churches every Sunday, speak out on a message regarding the biblical worldview values, and make sure that their congregants vote pro-life in this election, and they'll please God in doing so.
We need to continue to speak prophetically to the culture, but I want to go back to what you said in the very first segment, and that is there must be a return to personal holiness so that we can be in a posture that God can pour out his Holy Spirit in abundance upon our lives, that others may benefit from it.
Amen.
Pastor Jack Hibbs, thanks so much for joining us, my brother. Love you, man.
I love you, Jesus.
All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, Pastor Carter Conlon, New York Times, Times Square Church in New York City, joins us. Don't tell him I said he was with New York Times. All right, don't go away. Ever hear the term toxic masculinity? Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Masculinity is under attack in our culture. The American Psychological Association released guidelines declaring traditional masculinity ideology as harmful. Brown University, an Ivy League school, offered a course, Unlearning Toxic Masculinity, explaining that rigid definitions of masculinity are toxic to men's health. In a University of Texas class, Masculine UT treated masculinity as if it were a mental health crisis. Thankfully, the culture does not have the last word on true masculinity. God does. Our Stand Courageous Men's conferences offer biblical solutions to the crisis of manhood. We seek to help men develop character, cultivate habits, build relationships, and make commitments that will move them closer to God's design. Check out StandCourageous.com for an event in your area. That's StandCourageous.com.
Do you know of one person who knows absolutely everything? No? Me neither. And so, if we don't know everything, we all need to be lectured sometimes. Or at least, we all could benefit from tuning into a lecture now and then. Well, Family Research Council has just the thing. A new weekly podcast called Lecture Me, created to help inform and equip listeners on the biggest issues affecting our culture today. Each episode presents a lecture selected from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast podium features today's top thinkers who take on tough issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. Make sure to stick around after each lecture as we break down the content and discuss these topics further. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and host of Washington Watch. I invite you to join our family and thousands of others across the country in standing on the Word of God as we go into 2020, the global year of the Bible, by joining in a 2-year family chronological Bible reading plan. I can assure you that your family will be powerfully impacted by reading God's Word and growing in the understanding of His truth together. The readings take only 15 to 20 minutes a day, with Sundays set aside for a family or small group discussion. To join us, simply go to TonyPerkins.com and click on Stand on the Word with FRC. That's TonyPerkins.com, or call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Let's stand together on the Word of God and change the world, beginning in our own home. I'm Tony Perkins. Welcome back to Washington Watch. As we've been talking about, it is a brand new year, and we've been hearing from some of our closest pastors today, asking them to share what is on their heart for America and for the world in 2020, kind of what has God put on their hearts. And I want to wrap up these conversations with a dear friend of mine and FRC board member, Pastor Carter Conlon. Carter is the pastor of Times Square Church in New York City, an interdenominational church with over 10,000 people in attendance, representing over 100 different nationalities. Times Square Church also recently welcomed 700 home satellite fellowships worldwide as it continues to expand its reach. It has a footprint in New York, ministering through and alongside other churches as well. And it's just a privilege to welcome Carter back to the program. Carter, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Great to be with you today.
Well, as you know, Carter, the FRC team actually began this past year, 2019, reading through your book, It's Time to Pray. And I'll have to say it was transformational for us as an organization. And you were kind enough to come and minister in our chapel service to our team as well to help us wrap up that season of prayer together. And we've seen some phenomenal things take place here at FRC this year. And we've seen spiritual growth and breakthroughs. And so I want to thank you first for sharing your heart and testimony in that book. It's been a real blessing to us here at the Family Research Council. I just wanted to start the interview by saying that. Thank you for being obedient and putting that out there.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's just a blessing to my heart just to hear reports like that, because that's been the cry of my heart for a long time now.
Now, my guess is that you would say it's still time to pray in 2020.
You're right about that, and I'm just so optimistic about the future right now, because I believe this is we're on the cusp of the church's finest hour in our generation, at least anyway, because people are going to rediscover the fact that we are a supernatural entity as the Church of Jesus Christ, and when we begin to pray, God begins to speak, and if we have the courage to move with what He tells us to do, we'll see God do what only God can do one more time in history. I do believe that with all my heart.
Yeah, in fact, I was just talking in the previous segment with Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, out in California. And we were, before Christmas, we were in the White House for a meeting that involved the president. And just commenting on the – Jack and I have been walking together for years and looking back on the prayers that we prayed years ago that are now being answered in the policies that are being pushed by this administration. And the growth of religious freedom, or the restoration, I should say, of religious freedom, and even – you know, the government working to open doors internationally for people to have the freedom to believe. It's quite a remarkable time.
It is. And I'm truly believing for a spiritual awakening in America. You know, Tony, when you realize, when we see what's going on today in government and the realization hits that almost half of the country has embraced what I would consider a radical, godless agenda, we start to realize how desperately we need a spiritual awakening. And, of course, that awakening will start with the people of God, right, understanding that when we turn back to God, when we begin to seek Him, when we begin to pray, heaven opens, men and women begin moving in the direction where the Spirit of God leads them, and God then begins to do what only He can do. I'm just reminded of Nehemiah, just a standard cupbearer, really. He began to pray, and the next thing you know, God begins to speak, and the wall around Jerusalem is rebuilt. And, of course, incredible spiritual history comes through just one obedient man. Yeah, Esther the queen took 3 days with a bunch of friends and began to pray and fast, and she went into the king, and God gave her the favor of actually rewriting a law of death into a law of life. You know, so we have the precedent all throughout Scripture, all throughout scriptural history, even through the history of our own nation, of when men and women turn back to God, what He is able to do. You know, Tony, I believe that just as in the days of Israel and Egypt, we are more and mightier than those that would try to eradicate the name of Christ from our society. I'm hoping and believing that in 2020 we're going to realize it again. Thank God. It's going to come back into our consciousness that we are the church of the living God. We live in victory. So thank God for that.
You touched on something, you know, the godlessness that we're seeing so blatantly rearing its power, I guess, if you will, or lack thereof. But it's very prominent, and I think actually it ties into what you were just saying. I think the reason it is advancing is because the church feels that it is powerless. And it's yielded its power to these godless forces. But I think you're seeing this in New York from our conversations that we've had, that this godlessness leads to a helplessness, which is causing people to look for the answers. And that's where I think there is a moment, as you talk about revival in the church, absolutely an awakening in the broader culture, though, I believe is on right. We're on the verge of that.
Yes, we are. Here's what we're experiencing in New York City. Young people people who don't know Christ have a sense of hopelessness concerning the future, and there's a non-desire to live in a society that's so uncivil and filled with, you know, all kinds of rancor that they don't want to live in a world like that, and they're starting to come into the church. We're starting to get inundated with millennials and younger people coming in just to sit and listen to the Word of God, and I thank God for that with all my heart. On the part of the older people, a lot of older folks my age and maybe a little younger who have, you know, a lot of folks have a lot of religion, at least, they're getting very, very tired of the vileness of attacking our children in schools,
yes,
and
yeah,
confusing them concerning gender, denying them the right to pray, and then radicalizing them against God and their own nation and their own history. And the older folks are getting tired of it. And I'm just seeing, like, we have a prayer meeting that's gone worldwide now on Tuesday night, and we have pretty close to a full house a lot of Tuesdays of people driving in from Connecticut, New Jersey, coming in from all over the place. And they're just tired of this. And they say, God, we're asking you to bring us out of this cesspool of darkness and bring us back into the light and life and liberty that you once promised us as a people and as a society. And for me, it's heartening to see this. There is a turning starting, and I thank God for it with all my heart, Tony.
Now, when you talk about being tired of it, to me, what I see, it's a righteous indignation. It is enough, enough. And this is where I think Jesus was when he turned over the tables in the temple. It wasn't about him being offended. It was about God being dishonored. And as we step back in silence, we acquiesce. We really, our silence is a form of approval to the broader culture. If we don't say anything about this godlessness that is being promoted, in our schools, indoctrinating our children, and I do think it is time for righteous indignation, and that we say enough is enough.
No, I'm 100% with you, my friend. Just enough is enough. It's time to fight for our children. I don't want this to sound too strong, but it's almost spiritually criminal to let people go in into our grade schools and our kindergartens and start confusing them about whether they're a boy or a girl and start propagating some of these godless agendas and to just sit back and let it happen. I've been encouraging people in New York City, start to pray, and when God prays, move with what he says. If that means getting on a school board, get on a school board. If it means running for public office, run for public office. And I'm going to be on the radio across the country. I'm on 605 stations now, and I'm going to be on the radio in 2020 saying, for heaven's sakes, get out and vote. If you believe in Christ, if you believe in the Bible, if the Word of God at least is your guide, get out and vote and stop this godless agenda from going across our nation. And all it takes for evil to prosper is for good people to do nothing. And that's exactly why this agenda of darkness has been allowed to rise in the nation. Because those of us who know God, or at least believe in the Word of God, have sat back and just let it happen. But we're not powerless. Well, and we don't have to live like this anymore, and we don't have to let this thing get any further into our society. And it's time to stand up. It's time to pray, and it's time to move when God speaks.
I want to affirm what you said about, you don't know whether or not it's criminal. It might not be criminal in the court of law, but in the eyes of God, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 18, it says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of these offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come." And I think you see Jesus very clearly in this chapter, previous chapter, talking about the children. And by our silence, we are acquiescing to these voices of the culture that are robbing our children of their innocence, that are confusing them and turning their hearts against God. And I believe we will be held accountable for that if we do nothing.
I do too. And I fully intend, I'm 66 years old now, but I fully intend to stand up and fight. I'm just simply not willing to yield this generation to this kind of darkness. And I thank God, the more I read Scripture and the more I have lived for Christ, I've seen what God can do. I wrote about it in that book, It's Time to Pray. I've lived a lot of what I'm talking to you about today, and I've seen what God can do, and I'm believing for the future to see a spiritual awakening in this nation. And it's going to start with just ordinary people like you and I just starting to pray and to say, God, what would you have me to do? Now, that's the first prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed after he met Christ on the Damascus Road. He said, well, what would you have me to do? And of course, the rest is history. And he became probably one of the greatest voices in all of Christian history throughout the ages. And I'm just at that place now, at this age, and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Mm-hmm. Guide me, lead me, open the door, make a difference, Lord. Jesus, set the people free. It's a cry of my heart almost every day now. God, set the people free from this evil that's wanting to baptize this nation in filth. Set them free, Lord.
I think most of our listeners probably would agree with you. Most Christians would agree with that. They want to see that happen. But I think too many of them think it can be done from their lazy boy recliner. that somehow that, you know, we can pray these things in and there's not going to be any resistance. There's not going to be a price to be paid for it. Like these, when you look back on the history of these revivals, when you look at moves of God, it came with opposition. It came with sacrifice. It came with struggle. And in fact, I've shared this before, but my experience has been the greater the opposition that you're experiencing, that only points to the more significance of the mission God has given you. And if you're not experiencing any opposition, then likely you're not on a significant mission. And so when we talk about changing the culture, when we talk about defending the hearts and minds of children and winning the next generation, that is so significant. We just need to be prepared and understand that it's going to come with great opposition, and we have to press forward and not shrink back in the face of that opposition.
Yeah, and you know, what you're talking about is just a return to biblical Christianity, just an understanding. You know, part of the problem in America, I wrote about it in an article recently, is that in much of the Christian church, we've been raised on marshmallows, and now we're called to fight. You know, and the, theologically, there's been a preeminent kind of occupation with looking at all of the blessings and the strengths and the wonderments of the Word of God, which are all there, but there's also a cost.
Yes.
We have to realize that much of our theology that we have today in the New Testament was written from jail cells.
Right.
People paid a price to get this truth to us, and we dare not think that we're going to get this lit torch from others that have suffered to get it to us and somehow pass it on, like you said, in an easy boy chair. It's not going to happen. And once we get ourselves out of that mentality and into a place of true spiritual warfare, then we begin to realize that, yes, we're going to face an enemy, but the fight is worth fighting for. Nehemiah himself told the builders of the wall, he said, fight for your sons, fight for your daughters, fight for your children. There's something bigger at stake than just living for your own comfort and your own safety. And, of course, we're there now again as a society, and I expect the same results as we turn to God. They saw victory, and, Tony, I'm believing that we're going to see victory.
Well, as Jesus, he said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross. And that's the call to following Jesus. It's self-denial, and it is looking death square in the face. It's dying to self. That's what the cross was. Mm-hmm. The cross was an instrument of death. It wasn't an article of jewelry.
Yes.
And we've changed that with grab a picnic basket and let's go have some fun. If we're going to change the world, it's going to take commitment and sacrifice. Carter, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much, my friend, for joining us on this one of our first broadcasts of the year. And we look forward with great anticipation as to what God's going to do in 2020. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tony. Thank you.
And folks, thank you for joining us. And until next time, let me leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to advance faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.